Road of Life, brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Mrs. Sebastian didn't.
She didn't, but now she does.
Yes, now she does use Dove.
Now she knows Dove, D-U-Z, does best. She's convinced this new kind of soap does everything in the wash. You know, Mrs. Sebastian used to scrub away at her husband's dirty overalls.
Oh, there must be an easier way.
She'd fuss over her towels.
They never turn out white enough for me.
And she'd worry over her pretty rayons.
I never know how those colors are going to look.
Then, one day, this lady who didn't became a lady who does. She heard a neighbor say, does is best. Does everything. It gives you unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for cleaning work clothes, plus greater safety for nice colors. Now, wash day is a does day for Mrs. Sebastian. Now she beams at those clean overalls.
Imagine, does did them without any hard scrubbing.
Sure, there's no soap made that gets tough dirt out easier. Then she points at her towels.
Look, I've never had a whiter wash.
Of course not. There's no soap made that washes whiter than does. And she looks at those rayon undies.
Does wonders for pretty colors. Leaves them brighter.
Sure, they last longer now because does is safer for colors. You see, does everything. It's been proved the best in actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps. Does has the best combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. So be a lady who does. You'll find does best. Does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. Most people have seen hospitals under only two conditions, either as visitors or as patients. If you've been in a hospital as a visitor, you must recall that you were ushered in, walked down a corridor, and shown into a room. You spent a given amount of time in that room, and then when visiting hours were over, you were ushered out. If you've been in a hospital as a patient, your viewpoint was, of necessity, limited to your particular room or section or floor. Beyond that, you knew little. But there is a third phase of hospital life, generally known only to those who spend their hours working there. Most dramatic of these hours are those from 12 midnight until 8 o'clock in the morning. Except for shaded lamps, darkness invades the hospital. Except for a muffled cry or the efficient clip-clop of a nurse's heels on the hard-floored corridors, silence fills the building. During these hours, life ebbs and passes into another world. During these hours, life is born afresh. It's a strange time, taken over by shadows, occupied by tears, drenched in a hush of expectancy. It's after 4:30 in the morning, and Dr. James Brent is sitting in a small room adjoining the receiving chamber of City Hospital, Chicago, Illinois. Grinding out a cigarette, Jim looks up as Dr. Tom Parsons, an intern who is sharing the night duty with him, enters the room.
How is she?
518.
Oh, that's who you were up to see, wasn't it, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Well?
Her temperature hasn't gone up since last reading.
Well, that's something. Sit down, Tom. You look tired.
I am a little.
Cigarette?
Oh, thank you. You sure you can spare it?
Patient gave them to me.
Oh.
Is her daughter still there?
518?
Yeah.
I told her she could leave, but, well, she decided to stick around. Poor kid.
Oh, I think the mother will pull through, Tom. If her temperature hasn't gone up, it's a good sign.
Yeah.
Tell me something, Tom. Are you getting tired of all this? Are you getting sick of staying up all night, sitting around in a stuffy room, waiting for something to happen?
Why, no, sir. I don't feel that way about night duty at all.
Some interns do.
Dr. Brent, if you don't mind, Why don't you ask me if I was tired of all this?
Well, interning is pretty slow work, isn't it?
Do you think I've been complaining lately? I haven't meant to sound as if...
No. No, it isn't you I'm thinking about.
You mean one of the other boys has been...
Yes. My own son.
Oh.
Old John hasn't come out and out and said anything, but I've been watching him lately. Seems to be in a hurry. I've had an idea that he's a little too anxious to be over and done with his internship.
Well,
I know, you don't want to commit yourself. I don't blame you, but... To be extremely honest, Tom, I'm worried about him.
John's a pretty bright fellow, Dr. Brent.
Oh, I'm not denying that, but... Well, you're a classmate of his, Tom. You're serving your internship with him. You live and work together. I'm just wondering if you can give me any clue as to what's happening to John. What's come over him.
Well, I don't know, Dr. Brent.
I'm asking you not as a doctor, Tom, but as a man who's concerned about his son.
I don't know quite how to say this, sir. And I'm not at all sure that I even have a right to mention it.
Anything at all?
Well, to tell you the truth, we've both been so gosh darn busy. We haven't had time for many of those bull sessions we used to carry on in college. I do know, though, that John had a very warm feeling toward... Well, toward his home, and now that...
And now that Mrs. Brent and I are being divorced, you think that's had an effect on John, huh?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. I'm quite aware of John's resentment toward me, and his attitude has made me feel very badly. However, that's beside the point. Because whatever his attitude is toward me, it isn't as important as the attitude he takes toward his work.
Maybe he's just going through a phase, Dr. Brent.
Oh, then you've noticed the change in him, too, huh?
It's not a very radical one. It's just that at times John seems to be a little... Well, maybe I should say a little too sure of where he's going and what he wants.
Well, I don't know where he's going, but... I've got a sneaking suspicion of what he wants.
Well, he has mentioned something about going into practice with Dr. Fraser after he's finished here, but...
Mm-hmm. Money. Well, maybe as you say, Tom, this is just another phase he's going through. You care for another cigarette?
I think we've got time.
One cigarette and we'll make the rounds at 5.
Meanwhile, in a small frame house on Chicago's near north side, an alarm clock rings sharply. A man gets out of bed, washes, and dresses. His wife has a steaming breakfast waiting for him in the kitchen. When he's finished, he takes his lunch pail in his hand, kisses his wife goodbye, and leaves the house. This man has never heard of Jim Brent, nor has Jim Brent heard of him. Yet the fact remains that it's he who, within another hour, will have a shocking and permanent effect on Jim Brent's life. He walks a block and a half to a streetcar line, this little man of destiny does, and there boards a southbound car. After paying his fare, the little man places his lunch pail on the floor and stands on the back platform chatting with the conductor.
Pretty cold this time of the morning, ain't it?
Yep.
It'll warm up, though.
No, it won't.
Might even turn out to be a nice day.
I don't think so.
I'm going out to the Wedgwood plant.
How's that?
I say, I'm going out to the Wedgwood plant.
That's nice.
Yeah, I work out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You think I ought to transfer at Lake Street?
You work at the Wedgwood plant, don't you?
Sure.
Then why ask me?
Well, you see, this is my first day on the job.
Oh.
I'm new at it, so I don't know the best way out there.
Get off at Chicago Avenue.
Oh. Well, much obliged for telling me.
That's what they pay me for. Answering questions, collecting fares and taking transfers, helping old ladies on and off the car, keeping fresh kids from hooking rides and telling the motorman when to start and when to stop, turning the seats back when we get to the end of the line. Yeah, that's what they pay me for.
Hmm.
Well, do you want to get off at Chicago Avenue or do you want to wait until you get to Lake Street? Make up your mind.
Oh, I'll get off here if you say so.
I'm not telling you what to do at all, mister.
I'll get off at Chicago Avenue. We're coming to it now, aren't we?
Yep.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, don't forget your lunch pail.
Oh, that's right.
Wait till we stop. Don't step off the car while in motion.
Well, I wouldn't want anything to happen to me today.
Okay. Now.
Well, be seeing you.
Hey! Hey! Mister, look out for that automobile! Hey, mister! Look out for that auto! Hey!
Speeding out of the gray morning mist, a low, sleek automobile bore down on the man who had just alighted from a streetcar. It sent him flying 20 feet in the air. The man's body hit the pavement, rolled over and over and over, until it was stopped by the curbing. His lunch pail, crushed beyond recognition, came to rest under the wheels of the streetcar. A policeman standing on the corner blew his whistle and then started toward the crumpled and bleeding body. The streetcar conductor reached it first, though. He looked down, paused, and then called out.
Somebody get a doctor!
Well, that finishes the rounds, Tom.
Yes, sir.
What time is it?
Oh, 5:30. It's been a pretty quiet night, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't think anything much will happen now. What do you say we go downstairs and get a cup of coffee?
It's been a quiet night. Nothing much will happen. As the two doctors walk downstairs for their coffee, the die is cast. An ambulance is at this moment racing toward City Hospital, bearing the broken body of the man who inadvertently has already changed the lives of Jim and Carol Brent. These days, when it comes to food, you women have two budgets to keep, don't you? The financial budget and the ration point budget. Now, which is the harder to stretch?
Are you kidding? The ration point budget, of course.
Now, that's what I thought. So here's a tip. Save used fat. That'll help balance your ration point budget, because you get 2 red ration tokens for every pound of used fat. And now you can certainly use more red points, with all meats back on the ration list and butter so high in points. Now, don't neglect any of the ways to save used fat. Get your share of extra ration points. Scrape the fat from your broiler before you wash it. Melt down solid fats and save the grease and scraps of fat left on your dinner plates. Used fat not only means extra ration points for you, it means extra munitions and medicines for our fighting men. It means rubber tires for tanks and jeeps, machine gun bullets, life-saving drugs. The government more than ever needs every drop of your used fats. Yes, you help our country and you help yourself get extra ration points by saving every drop of used fat. Be sure to listen tomorrow when DUZ Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. Your grocer's paper bags and cardboard cartons have gone to war, so when you shop, take your own shopping bag or basket with you.